Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. And Kamala Harris to confirm Trump's win amid controversies. This is an article written by Austin Snyder. Now, Democratic leadership anticipates a pivotal moment in American democracy as Vice President Kamala Harris prepares to oversee the certification of her own electoral defeat. According to BizPak Review, Harris is expected to certify President-elect Donald Trump's victory on January 6, 2025, which is Monday, by the way. Despite calls from some Democrats to challenge the results based on a 14th Amendment disqualification claims, the certification process comes amid controversy sparked by a recent column in The Hill, authored by former editor-in-chief of the Columbia Law Review and Yale Law Journal. Even A. Davis and David M. Schulte argued for Trump disqualification under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, citing what they deemed overwhelming evidence of insurrection against the Constitution. There was insurrection, all right, and it was against the American people by the Democrats and by people like Davis and Schulte. That's the truth. The purpose, however, has gained a little traction among Democrat lawmakers. You know why? Because they tried their lawfare and they got beat down. And remember when Nancy Pelosi sat behind President Trump and tore up his speech? The State of the Union speech, of pure defiance there. This wicked woman. Now, whatever happened to Nancy? She got voted out. Their proposal, however, has gained little traction among Democratic lawmakers who appear committed to honoring the electoral process. If Nancy was still in power, they wouldn't be. Congressional Democrats have shown remarkable unity in their approach to upcoming certification. Representative Joe Morelli, the leading Democrat on the House committee overseeing elections, has explicitly discouraged any attempts to contest the results. His position reflects a broader party consensus that emphasizes respect for the democratic process and marks a deliberate contrast to previous electoral challenges. As reported by Representative Joe Morelli, "I think you're going to have a pretty sort of normal transfer, and I think we will respect the wishes of the American people in contrast to what happened January 6th. The certification procedure represents a significant moment for Harris, who will join a small group of vice presidents tasked with certifying their own electoral defeats. The circumstances, while potentially uncomfortable, stands as a testament to the American tradition of peaceful power transition, strategic shift, democratic response to electoral outcome. The Democratic Party's current stance marks a notable evolution from previous positions." Here he comes. Representative Jamie Raskin, who had been vocal about using the 14th Amendment to prevent Trump from taking office, appears to have moderated his approach following the Supreme Court's rejection of similar arguments earlier this year. Representative Pramila Jayapal, the outgoing progressive, which means communist, caucus leader, provided insight into the party's thinking when she stated, "I'm not intending to do that again because I think that people don't differentiate. The perspective indicates a strategic decision to avoid actions that might mirror previous election challenges, particularly given Trump's reported landslide victory in both the Electoral College and popular vote. The anticipated smooth certification process represents significant departure from recent electoral transitions. Despite earlier calls for intervention based on constitutional grounds, Democratic leadership has chosen to prioritize the institutional stability and democratic principles. The January 6th certification is expected to proceed without the intensive strategy sessions and legal analysis that characterized previous electoral transitions. This approach reflects both practical political considerations and a commitment to maintain democratic norms, even in the face of internal party disagreements about the incoming administration. Okay, so here you have that, right? But now at the same time, don't forget, you're going to have a brand new prosecutor. And of course, we know the Democrats are going to try to get the new Justice Department so busy handling terrorist cases that it's not going to go after these people. But now, remember, you had former FBI head James Comey, who's running around telling people, I know Trump is going to try to prosecute me. I know Trump is going to try to get even with me. You have these people like Bill Clinton out there begging for pardon for Hillary. So they all know that they've committed high crimes. They've committed treason, and they went after Trump. And when Trump was in the last time, he didn't know the ropes there in D.C. Now he's much, much smarter, okay? And he hasn't spent the last 4 years sitting on his laurels. They've been doing legal work, doing a lot of research, investigating the deep state. And now it's time. People like Milley. Milley has been out there saying, I know if Trump gets in, he's going to court-martial me. You know, why? Well, because Milley committed treason. And that's why, okay? And so now all of a sudden you've got all of these others that would support each other in the past, but they seem to be jumping ship. In fact, you got, I think recently, didn't you have two more Democrats who switched? One went independent, one went to the Republican Party, okay? So they're jumping ship. And when you have people like Bill Gates, I mean, he's an enemy of God and country. When these people start jumping ship and all of a sudden coming and kissing Trump's ring, what do you think they're going to do? Well, we'll go with Wendy first because she's a lady. What do you think is going to happen, Wendy? Did you fall asleep again?
Oh, sorry. My button on my phone was pushed in. Typically, the criminal mind, there's a couple of ways they can maneuver. They will try to get something on Trump and blackmail him, or they will craft some sort of situation where it'll look good to Trump, and, you know, set a trap kind of thing. And, I don't know. There's multiple things they can do. The criminal mind thinks differently than the average American, Christian American out there. If you had to force yourself to think like they do, it would be exhausting to you. It's an alien way of thinking, you know?
If I had to think like
that. What does the Bible say, Pastor? Don't they craft mischief continually?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Right, but let me ask you. You said they'd probably go after Trump. Now they've tried all this stuff. Well, for the only thing they got a conviction, and yet Trump. And I believe Trump on this because there were other witnesses, but Trump had no real defense in that. With that woman that claimed he raped her in that clothing store, and other witnesses in there said it would have been the hardest thing in the world to do because there's no room in one of those little booths to do anything, you know. It's like one of the stand-up things. And Trump said, you know, if he was going to rape a woman, he'd, you know, he'd get a much prettier one than that one, okay? But, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be, but, you know. And so,
that's a nice way of saying not with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. So, anyhow, and He denies it. So what they, of course, she didn't want to take a lie detector test, did she? That's what happened
with
Judge.
Well, I mean, narcissists can pass a lie detector because they believe their own lies.
Well, with Judge Roy Moore, they had all those women. And you know who it was, Wendy? It was the rhinos that tried to set him up. The rhinos, because he was too much of an honest man. He was just too honest for the rhinos. And what happened was they had all those women, I believe seven different women. He challenged each and every one of them to a lie detector test, and every one of them backed out. They were all set up. It was all proven false. You know, there you go with that. And so he might, maybe they figured, well, the only way they got, were able to get Trump before was a woman. Maybe they'll try a woman again. What do you think?
I don't know. Like I said, they have multiple craftiness they can rely on. But, you know, typically a lot of their MO is, you know, setting somebody up. They also like to use blackmail. They also like to, you know, bribe witnesses. And they have a lot of things they can do. I mean, I think the list is pretty endless what they could come up with.
My guess is if everything, now look, they tried to assassinate him twice, right? Mm-hmm. That didn't work. My guess is that the next thing they would try to do is kidnap one of his family members. Kidnap and threaten one of his family members, unless, you know.
I don't think that's going to work, you know. I can think of a number of ways that would be more subtle and get the job done rather than do that. That's too messy.
Well, that way, I mean, but see, Trump is smart enough to know that he couldn't trust him anyhow, huh? I mean,
right.
So that you're dealing with people that you can't trust. What do you think, Hal?
Well, I think Biden has sold America out to the World Health Organization, which is part of the United Nations that wants to destroy this country's sovereignty and keep Trump from getting in the first place. So I think the World Health Organization, it's very possible that they will come up with a phony pandemic that will cause a national crisis of some kind that's going to disrupt, you know, everything, Trump getting sworn in and everything that he's planning on doing. This way, it'll make it look like it was out of their hands, that they had nothing to do with it, that it was a, quote, act of God, unquote, and everything like that. And so I'm highly suspicious of this World Health Organization that Biden sold us out to, and I think they have something planned. And like I said, they're tied in with the UN, which has been directing the Democrat Communist Party all this time, and the things they've been doing is giving them the authority that they've needed and everything.
I think you're onto something there, Hal. There's been chatter for the last few years of what type of pandemic they might want to bring about. Because, you know, pandemics are usually random. And if you look back at history, pandemics had, you know, a span of hundreds of years between pandemics. You don't have that now. So
no, it goes right along with the election cycle now.
Yeah. So the chatter was, you know, the next pandemic, in order to get compliance, further compliance, because they kind of know the American people don't want to go along with another hoax thing. So they would up the ante on a pandemic and supposedly make the pathogen more lethal or virulent towards children. And that would be a very touchy area for people with families. And people that didn't want to comply, they would look at it as a threat to their family, see. So I think that may be a possible leverage point.
Well, in California, they've got the bird flu, which they're saying is getting to the point where it's like a pandemic, it's an emergency. I think he declared a state of emergency out there. I guess it's killed a lot of cattle. The bird flu killed a lot of cattle. And then, obviously, they've killed off a tremendous amount of chickens. So the price of eggs are going to go much, much higher again, probably. But now they say, 26 people have now come down with the bird flu. Wendy, what is? Do you know what the symptoms are of the bird flu?
Yeah, it's you got a lot of flu-like symptoms. You also get a lot of pulmonary complaints. So it's respiratory related. So
yeah,
you know, it's flu. It's an influenza. But basically, the flu from the avian strains. There's different avian strains, but they've been pumping that into your quadrivalent standard flu shot for over a decade.
Well, there's something else they say now that's out there. Oh, I just reported on it the other night. Another type of that's spread by it's spread by food. That's something that's contaminated, that you pick it up by eating contaminated food, but can be spread by touch and that too. And I'm trying to
think. Well, you're not talking about Listeria.
Yeah, that's it. Listeria.
Okay.
They're claiming that is now becoming a major problem.
Well, Listeria is not a friend by any means, but it's not, I guess as big a threat as, let's say, E. coli or something like that. It can be a problem for people, though. It's just, we got lots of things that we could conjecture here, but Lord is still in control.
Yeah, he is, but we, this is why, I start out, you weren't with us at the beginning here, but I was reading from the scripture. 366 times in scripture it says either fear not or be not afraid. And about a half a dozen of those or more, a dozen are negative fear nots. The negative fear nots refer to those that don't fear God. That don't fear God, Norman. But here, I can see that, first of all, that we're going to have some very exciting times coming, and people need to be prepared. They really do need to be prepared. Now, again, because, like I said, with Trump coming in, we've got so much corruption in our government, in the high places in our government. I mean, a tremendous amount of corruption. And now, some of the good news is that they're starting to turn on each other. The other thing is that Trump can't, he's got to be at that point where he doesn't trust any of them, okay?
Oh, yeah, you can't right now. I mean, look what he's been through. Tread lightly and carry a big stick,
Yeah, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Oh, okay, well, I like to tread lightly then.
All right.
Yeah, speak softly now, but... Yeah, it's a tough job. Being president is a tough job.
Yeah, that's why I never took it. So, alrighty.
Well, Pastor, did you want me to do a health segment? I know I came in late, but I didn't know if we had time.
Of course.
Okay, we got a topic here about wine. Is it good for your health? It's a kind of a new study that came out of Barcelona, Spain. I thought it was interesting because I think it explains a lot about how it's good for you with moderation and how it's not when you have too much and what the too much is. And I think a lot of people don't realize what that too much mark might be, because a lot of decades have gone over the waterfall here, reports of pro and con on, consuming wine. And a lot of these reports cautioned us to adopt the moderate consumption of wine or any kind of alcohol, but wine has been cited to improve digestion. Even the Bible states it makes the heart merry. So this is some new research that may answer some questions.
Well, digestion, the Bible says a little wine for the stomach's sake.
Right, yeah. So is wine good for you or not? Well, if we look at Psalms 104:15, it says, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of men, and oil makes his face to shine, and the bread which strengthen a man's heart." So it's mentioned, and this study was December 2024, University of Barcelona, Spain. They were conducting research on wine consumption and the cardiovascular system, and they used a biomarker of tartaric acid that is in the wine to track intake of, they had about 1,200 volunteers. So they didn't want to just take the volunteers' word for it. They wanted something that was more concrete. And the Mediterranean diet was also part of the study, as well and they were interested in if wine itself actually lowered the risk of cardiovascular complications. So they concluded that wine can be very beneficial, and the study was published in the December 2024 European Heart Journal. Here's a couple of excerpts from the study. They said, light and moderate consumptions of wine is associated with lower risk of cardiovascular complications. The results of the study and others should help us to place moderate wine consumption in its rightful place as an element of the Mediterranean diet, considered to be the healthiest diet in the world. So where does all this come from? Anyone who drinks wine knows that not all wines are the same. And the final product is really influenced by not only the specific grape variety, but also the region and where it was harvested. And overall, we're told European wines are not stronger than American wines. However, the grape environment factors and the processing of the wine can make a huge difference. And some people do report a glass of Italian wine equals two glasses of American wine. And I tend to agree with that. So we're going to take into account if drinking in moderation actually benefits us. So in order to get accurate measurement on the amount of wine consumed, the researchers did not rely on the volunteers' reporting. The scientists measured that wine with food intake and took biomarker readings of the tartic acid in the volunteers, and the acid is a molecule. It's produced in the grape. And you don't usually find it in other plant species. So this helped the scientists come up with the baseline of a moderate wine consumption. Here's what they said. This new multi-center study provided new evidence that drinking between half a glass of wine and a full glass of wine a day could help reduce the risk of heart problems. So in the study, they analyzed wine consumption and cardiovascular outcomes, and they found that the mild to moderate consumption offered a reduction of 38 to 50% in cardiovascular events. So that would mean strokes and heart attacks. The study also cited, we found that light wine consumption between one glass per week and less than half a glass per day reduces the risk of having cardiovascular complications by 38%, but this reduction reaches 50% with the consumption of a moderate glass, that's between half a glass and one glass per day. And by the way, this is always with a meal, Pastor. So it can kind of be difficult to measure how much wine a person is drinking. The size of the wine glasses could vary. And according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, a standard glass of wine is 5 ounces. And the researchers also stated that in this case, a little wine can be healthy, but too much can be harmful. They stated, however, when you're consuming, if your consumption exceeds one glass a day, the protective effect disappears. So when we talk about moderate wine consumption, it is always with meals and never between meals. That's the quote from the study. So I think this is important because, you know, it's kind of hard to keep track of how much you're taking in if you keep pouring and filling up your glass. So standard wine glass, it's about half or just a little below halfway, that would be your 5 ounce mark, and you don't go above that, and it's always with a meal. So that's where you get the cardiovascular protection. And this makes sense, you know, because the Bible describes wine consumption with meals or feasts, if you recall, and often it was served as a celebration, you know, especially at weddings and other events.
Wouldn't you think that the amount of wine that one could drink would depend upon the size of the person, okay?
Well, that's not what the study said. No, I mean, that's what we've been hearing all along, right? Men can have two or more drinks. Women can have one or two drinks per day. But as apparently this study says, it's too much if you're trying to protect your heart system.
Yeah, but what I'm – okay, so you're talking about – now, here's – someone who's a 300-pound football player, compared to say you, so that
right.
the amount of wine that he would drink would have much of a less of effect, you would think, on him than the same amount would have on you, wouldn't you think?
Possibly. The thing about wine is, you know, it's from a food. It's processed differently than grain alcohols, so it has a lot of acids in it, which assist in digestion and breaking down things and absorption rates and so forth. So it also has a bit of a vasodilator effect. So that's probably where the benefit to the cardio comes in. The thing I found too is that I don't know, have you ever had gluten-free wine, Pastor?
I don't think so. No, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I probably never have.
So people that have, you know, sensitivities to gluten, the celiac disease, they have come out with gluten-free wines, and which are very nice, and they're mostly made from European grapes, or they're made in Europe. They're really not made here in California or any place. And the interesting benefit to the gluten-free variety of a wine like this is you don't seem to have, if you overdid it, you don't seem to have hangover symptoms. I don't know. The sugar is probably the reason.
Okay, let me ask you this, because now you talked about this Mediterranean diet. Exactly what is the Mediterranean diet? Because I've heard...
So think about the Mediterranean diet and where they're at. They're coastal. They have lots of fish. They do eat lamb, chicken, turkey, and pork, as well as beef, but not as prevalent as the fish. They're big fish eaters. They also have a lot of healthy oils, fatty fish. Some healthy fats help you lose unwanted fats. So olive oil is the oil of preference there. They use a lot of avocados, again, healthy fats, and, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables. But they do have, you know, grains and breads, but they're not using that so much as a staple as usually the Americans are. So it's the portions as well, just like the Asian people. Meat has always been real expensive, so most of the dish was mostly rice and vegetables. So we Americans just overdo the meats. So you can go to a bookstore, Pastor, and they have cookbooks there, and usually they're set up by regions, so you can go to the Mediterranean section and, you know, pick up a paperback that you can make, you know, some Mediterranean dishes in like 20 minutes.
No kidding.
Yeah. Alrighty. It's nothing exotic. It's just, you know, the type of food, the selection of your food, and how you're making it, and the portions.
That's good, because I've never been exotic before. But
hell
might be exotic, you know. Hell.
Well, keep it simple. Okay, so, you know, Jesus Christ and the disciples, you know, they had a little bread, they had a little fish, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but Hal and I, we have a lot of fish, right, Hal? Hal goes to the fish fries every Friday.
Every Friday,
well, we don't
want
to fry. We do not want to fry.
No, baked fish. Baked fish is what I have.
Yeah, baked the fish, yeah. Bake or broil.
I eat sardines, too. Sardines are supposed to be good for you.
Yeah, have you ever cooked fish, Pastor?
My wife has. I haven't really. I did, too. I cooked some over an open fire when I went camping. And
yeah.
We caught some trout and stuff. Yeah, I cooked them over
open fire.
Yeah, I
mean, it's
fire.
Really, they cook, fish cooks really fast. Usually maybe 10 minutes per side or less. So the way you know your fish is done, if you take a fork and you stick it in and you twist it, if the flesh of the fish is flaky, then it's done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's how you know the fish is, take it off the heat so you don't overcook it. Because if you overcook fish, it gets dry.
I know some people that are flaky, and they're pretty done, too. But we'll be back right after this.
Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come on in.
Miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart. it was for you and I that he was crucified.
Boy, I like that song. I really do. All right. Okay, we're back. And
hey, Pastor, you know how Wendy was talking about cooking fish?
Yeah.
I remember years ago a few of us went out, and we caught 25 white bass in one evening, and somebody filleted them open, and we cooked them over an open campfire. I'd forgotten all about that. And a guy's wife came with us. She brought coleslaw and baked beans and cold iced tea, and man, I'll tell you what, that was the best fish dinner I ever had in my life, just eating it out over an open campfire with those things going with it. And I'll never forget that. I've missed that a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's how we did it. I went out, we caught a bunch of trout, and we cooked them, and then we were in that lake, we caught some perch, and we cooked them over an open fire, too, as we camped out, and they were delicious. Yep. Very good. So, yeah, I think I might go back on that Mediterranean diet for a while. It sounds healthy to me. My wife took all my chocolate away from me. Did you know that, Wendy?
Yeah.
You know,
you can get used to anything, Pastor.
You know, I mean, I got about 4 or 5 boxes of chocolate people got me for Christmas. I mean,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and she took them all away. She said, "Nope. You got to get rid of that. You got to get rid of that sugar." So,
right.
Anyhow, I am with no chocolate left. But that's all right. I can endure. Right, Hal?
Well, it's a lot of sugar, and sugar creates a lot of inflammation. And last thing any of us need is that.
It makes us fat too. But now, you brought up something else there. You were talking about a good healthy fat, and you were talking about
avocados.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, avocados, do they have a lot of calories in them? Tell me about healthy fat.
Yeah. So metabolically, the body breaks down the healthy fat differently than the unwanted fat that you're storing from empty calorie type foods and lots of sugars and things. So, avocado is healthier than potato chips. Okay. So the healthy fat in the avocado. I don't know. Do you eat guacamole?
I like guacamole.
Yeah. A lot of people like that. I'm not a big fan of avocado. I eat a little bit. I know it's nice and creamy and stuff, but, you know, I guess I'm just a texture person. I don't like it when it's too soft, you know. So, avocado is going to be a healthy fat for you, just like some oils are healthier than others. So, you know, your olive oil is going to be, if you're cooking with it, if you're sautéing, that oil doesn't break down as readily under heat than other types of oils.
Well, I've heard so much about olive oils that there's, first of all, if you get olive oil, you got to make sure it's in a kind of a specific type of glass bottle. And
usually the dark green is good. Oils are sensitive to oxygen. They start to, a rancidity process can start. So you have to use your oils up in a timely manner. There's a company out in California called Apollo Olive Oil, and they press their olives that they get from all over the world. So they have different olives from different regions have different flavor markers. Some can be a little bit of a spicy flavor. Some can be very mild and mellow. And so they press their olives in a vacuum. It's cold pressed in a vacuum, and it is the best tasting oil I have ever had. They used to have like a sample package where you can get these little bottles with wooden corks in it. It was so cute, and you can sample their different varieties. Apollo, you can order online from them, I believe.
Apollo, you hear that, Hal?
Yeah,
because Hal's big on olive oil.
California olive oil, too, is supposed to be good.
Well, another company, Star West Botanicals carries a good olive oil as well. Has a nice flavor, rich and embodied oil. It's nice. I mean, if you go to the grocery store and you get, you know, supposedly, you know, virgin olive oils, they cut those with some other oils.
Yeah, and they said don't get it in plastic bottles. Always get glass bottles of olive oil.
Always get glass, yeah.
Yeah, what they say in certain...
It's like salt. Salt's a basic element. Olives are a basic thing. I mean, our 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here, you know, salt and olives were pretty much a staple. Salt preserved meats, but metabolically, salt preserves the human body. Now, the salt they were using was quite different than the salt you get today that's highly processed, doesn't have any of the nutrition left in it. So... sun-dried salt will still have the nutrition. We're still waiting. Our distributor that sells that sun-dried salt from France got kind of damaged from the Helene hurricane because they're up in the Asheville area.
How about Celtic sea salt, Wendy?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, ocean salt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sun-dried salt. That's what it is. So sun-dried salt will have this off-white or a grayish tinge to it, whereas processed salt is totally white and dry as a bone. That's the difference, that you can tell the difference that way.
Well, your salt is the salt that I've always been using.
Yeah, I mean, I discovered that salt probably 35 years ago. I thought all salt was the same. Boy, was I wrong. Because salt, when it has the 85 micro minerals still in it, including your natural iodine, it strengthens your cell walls so they don't collapse and bleed. So varicose veins is from collapsing cell walls. So when you have stronger cell walls, it's harder for viruses to penetrate them to infect you. Salt balances fluids in your system, so you won't be dehydrated and you won't have edema. Salt's good for the cardio system that way because it doesn't create a hypertension risk. So not all salt's the same.
All right, very
good. Good to know.
All righty. I'm going to open the phone lines for 5 minutes, because we'll take maybe two calls, and then it'll be
Pastor, can I mention we're having a New Year's sale, so it's 20% off, and it runs through the 4th. So I thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, well, you ought to throw in that the people should give you a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, or just go up on the internet to thepowerherbs.com, and they really ought to get your catalog because there's so much good stuff in that catalog.
Catalog's free. They can request it online or give us a call.
All righty, very good. And in fact, one of the things you have in there is your Celtic sea salt. Is one of the things you were just talking about.
Right now, we're waiting for that distributor to get back up online. I've been told we have an order pending, so any day now, but it's slow moving because of what happened up in the mountains with that hurricane. Bad, bad, bad situation up there.
Yeah, you're telling me that we just sent them some money up there to help them through that Samaritan's
Purse.
Yeah,
we did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ought to. Okay, phone lines are open. We're going to take like maybe one or two quick calls. So the phone lines are open at 8, but you got to do it quick because in about 5 or 6 minutes, Hal's going to give the invitation. So it's 888-677-9673. If you have a question for Wendy, 888-677-9673. So give us a call, but you got to do it really quick, very, very quick, because we're running out of time. And let's go to Texas with Brian. Hey, Brian, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor, is my call coming in clear?
Yeah, you're loud and clear.
Hey, I want to tell you, Pastor, that was so funny when you mentioned that when you're talking about fish with Hal, and you mentioned you know a lot of flakes. Now I know why I listen to you. You got one good sense of humor, but this one's for Wendy also. Wendy, and I want to mention, first of all, Happy New Year, Pastor, and to Hal and Joel and...
And to you, yeah.
Especially Joe, Happy New Year, guys. I want to mention, I'm going to hang up, I want her to talk about turmeric, because I hear that that's a big part of the spice in the Mediterranean diet. Happy New Year, Pastor. Y'all have a good one, and thank you for taking my call. God bless.
Thank you, Brian. God bless. Turmeric. That's what I think he's talking about. Yeah, turmeric.
Right.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Turmeric, yeah, definitely a lovely spice. It's a good anti-inflammatory, a lot of photonutrients in turmeric. It helps with free radicals. You've heard that term, you know, gets rid of free radicals. It helps the cells in the body repair damage. So, I mean, you can get even some turmeric tea. I think traditional medicinals offers a really nice ginger and turmeric blend. I love ginger because it's a circulatory aid and will take the turmeric around the system quickly. But, you know, it's a rich spice. A lot of medicinal benefits. Some people use it for,
Now, does that come from like a leaf, or does that come from a berry, or does it come from a bark,
or
what?
It's a plant. It's a plant. Turmeric is a root, basically.
Oh, a root.
Yeah, it's a root. It's very orangey looking, if you noticed. It's kind of it almost looks like, you know, a wild yam. So, yeah.
Yeah, President Trump has looked that way at times, too.
So does Schwarzenegger. He looks orange.
Yeah, sometimes. Very orange. They called him the orange guy.
Orange Arnold.
Yeah. So, anyhow, very good. Because I've always wondered, I've wondered where that, if it was like a leaf, you know, where a lot of this stuff comes from. Some of them, like bilberry, it's a berry, right?
Yes, so if you got fruits coming off shrubs and things, berries are really rich. Leaves and stems, not typically as rich as fruits or roots. Remember that. Fruits and roots typically have more nutrition.
Remember that, Hal.
Yeah, Wendy, I've heard that when you take curcumin, if you take a little bit of black powder, black pepper, before that, it helps with the digestion. But then someplace else I read that said that that's a wives' tale, that black pepper has nothing to do with helping curcumin be absorbed in your body. What do you think?
It just depends on, sources. But, yes, people use curcumin for a lot of things. Black pepper, be careful, because you can get a lot of arsenic in with some of those spices. Okay, you have to be careful where you're getting them from. But, yeah, curcumin's another anti-inflammatory. People use it for eye health, I think, a lot of times, for degenerative issues there. I'm not giving medical advice. I'm just saying what people tend to use them for. Some people use it for filtering organs like the kidneys and stuff. So, yeah, this is why the Bible says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations.
Right. Yeah, I take that in Terry's French grapeseed extract every day.
Oh, right. Pycnogenol is in the grapeseed. Great antioxidant. People that typically get any, sometimes pine bark, certain like European pine bark will have pycnogenol in it too. So, that was kind of big in the 90s and early 2000s, the grapeseed and pine bark thing. People felt, for several weeks, they felt rejuvenated like they were 10 or 20 years younger, but it wouldn't last. It wouldn't stay with them. So kind of faded out, but it does have some great initial benefits.
Yeah, well, pine cone tea was very big, too, for... Mm-hmm. They were making tea. I used to have a fellow who used to attend our church. He moved out to California, but he would make tea out of, the pine needles. And
it's really the antioxidant factor in it, pycnogenol.
All righty, very good. Well, we're at that time. Before we go there, though, one more time, folks. It's thepowerherbs.com. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. The very best natural medicines you'll ever get. Miss Wendy has them right there. She has them all. In fact, I just got a shipment in here just recently. And so give her a call. Get that catalog, 866-229-3663. Again, 866-229-3663. You got 8 minutes, Pastor Hal. Tell us how we can avoid that burning lake of fire and get to heaven.
Okay, God has a real simple plan of salvation, but it starts out where you have to realize that without Jesus Christ in your heart, you're lost and on your road to hell, because the Bible, first of all, says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We've all heard about in Genesis, Adam's sin. Sin came into the world. All of us became infected by that sin. And God said the penalty for sin is spiritual death, which is dying and go to hell. God loves you, but he hates your sins. And God cannot let us come into heaven with our stinking, filthy sins attached to us. And the only thing that could get rid of those sins is the blood of Christ. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every single human being that's ever been born has sinned, and they're sinners, and they sin every day in thought, word, or deed. So it only gets worse as time goes on. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That means spiritual death as well as physical death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's very important. We want eternal life. We want to go to heaven. And God made that a gift through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. Sin had to be paid for. There was no getting around it. But God allowed Jesus to pay for your sin and mine in his, you know, he did it for us in our place. So that when he died, right before he died on that cross, he said, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for your redemption and mine so we can get to heaven has been done by his son. But now that payment don't become yours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So knowing about what he did for you on the cross doesn't put you off any better than the devil. Even the devil knows Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to save your soul. But God, what God wants you to do that the devil does not want you to do is by faith reach out and receive that payment. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you that payment he paid for you on the cross, and he'll do that. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption, how? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So it's through the blood of Christ, because in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The blood that Jesus shed on that cross was a pure, sinless blood of God himself, and that's the only thing that could wash away your sin and mine or any amount of sin that's ever been done. You know, we can't wash away our sins with our own blood. Down the Philippines and in different places, they'll crucify themselves to the cross. They'll whip themselves. They'll bleed all over the place. But all the bleeding and beating that they do on themselves isn't going to wash away one sin. You can also be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. And no priest, preacher, pope, or anybody else can wash away one of your sin with one of their rituals or sacraments or anything else like that, because only the blood of Christ can do that. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells you it's a free gift. For it says, for by grace are you saved, that means saved from hell, through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus did all the work necessary for you to go to heaven. Now, whether you go to heaven or go to hell depends on what you do with that finished payment that he paid in your place. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call means to pray. That simply means that if you believe that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to save your soul, which the Bible says that's what he did, and you pray and you ask him to come into your heart, John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, then he's going to come into your heart and give to you that payment he paid for you on the cross. Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice, in other words, hear my word, and open the door, I will come in. So right now, while I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart, and he's asking you if you will open up that door and let him come in and give you that eternal life. Now, my job as a preacher is to lead men and women to Christ, as a Christian even. But it's up to you whether you want to receive Christ or not. If you don't want to receive Christ, if you want to die and go to hell, if you want to try and get there some other way, if you think your priest or preacher or church membership is going to get you to heaven, you're wrong, because you're going against what God says. God has a plan of salvation, and you got to heed that plan to go to heaven. And that plan is what I've just explained to you. So if you want to receive that payment Jesus paid for you, he hears me talking to you right now. He knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. and he'd know if you prayed and sincerely asked him to come into your heart. And he also says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. That without Christ in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners on our way to hell. But if you pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, he comes in, takes his blood, washes the slate clean, makes you cleaner in God's eyes than a brand new baby. And from that time on, when God looks at you, he don't see you and your old filthy sins. He sees the righteousness of his son inside of you. So if you want to receive that righteousness, if you want to receive eternal life, pray this prayer with me. Let me lead you in a simple prayer of faith. But even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God. Let's pray. Oh, dear God, I believe that you died on that cross and you shed your blood to wash away my sins. I admit to you that I'm a sinner and I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed.
1 minute.
And I'm sorry for the fact that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart right now and give to me the payment you paid for me on that cross. Lord Jesus, you died for me on that cross. You shed your blood to save my soul from hell. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and save my soul from hell right now and make me a brand new creature in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, 1 John 5:13, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That means people that receive Christ just like you just did. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or wonder about it, but that you may know, that's 100% certain, that you have, that means right now, have, present tense verb. If you died now or 100 years from now, you'd go straight to heaven. He says that you have eternal life. That's heaven. And God cannot lie. That's why I know if I had a massive heart attack right now while I'm talking to you on the phone, I'd be in heaven before my body even hit the floor, because the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And
amen. Very good. Well, we're at that point. I want to thank you for being here with us. Thanks for being here, Wendy. And thanks for being here, all you folks out there, for supporting us all of this time. So amen. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night, God bless, and always, always, always do it.
Keep
fighting the fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to The Voice Dance, What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.